Okay, Rabbi Sai. Tonight we're going to be learning Simon Yudalet Siv, Dalet and Siv Hey. Very important halachas in terms of not only tzitzis. In fact, we're going to be talking about taking other items as well for the purpose of mitzvah, for the use without permission. Let's see what it says over here. Mutar litoil, page 52 in our editions. Mutar litoil talish chaveru velevorech oleo. So, before I forget, I have to add something to what we discussed yesterday. I'm sorry about that. I have to add that. Yeah, that I want to just mention to you something which is interesting. For years I've been bothered, and for literally years I didn't understand where does a minute come from. Rabbi said when a person gets an aliyah, and he takes the talis shel kol, he takes a shul talis. When does he take it off?
After kedusha.
After kedusha. Or sometimes people a bit longer, a bit shorter, but generally that's the you get called up for Minchon Shabbos, you put it on, and before you go up, you make the aliyah, you stay there, Shmones, you take it off. Why? Where does that come from?
It's not covered and, to chop it off straight away, is it?
Pardon?
It's not covered to chop it off straight away.
So if you'd say, so yeah, no, but why after Kedusha? What does that mean? I mean, like, why not? Well, keep it on, keep it off, whatever. But
Shmona Ezra, right? There must be an Indian of saying the tefillah with a talis on. So once you've got it on for the aliyah, anyway, just keep it on for the tefillah because there's an Indian of having a tefillah or on for tefillah like we do by Shabbos. That's what I was thought.
That what? That since you're
since there's anyway an Indian to have a talis on for tefillah, and the Shmona Ezra is the main part of the tefillah after you've had your aliyah, keep it on for the Shmona Ezra. That's what I thought it was.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I.
That would apply to everyone.
Then everybody should put on a I looked into it a few times. I couldn't find any person speaking about it. I couldn't understand where did that come from until literally a couple of days ago, as we were learning these halachas, I suddenly came across a very interesting point. So I saw maybe it's the Chavos Yoyeh who says it, the following point is we discussed that there's a distinction between why a person puts on the talis either the tzorich mitzvah or the tzorich kavod atzibur. We discussed. So we said in terms of the bracha, we said if you're putting on the talis that for the mitzvah, you're gonna make a bracha. And for kavod atzibur, we said if you just grab a talis for kavod atzibur, you will not recite the bracha. We said the mishnah actually says you should do to make a bracha. We discussed yesterday. The minhag again is not to recite the bracha if you're just putting on the talis kavod atzibur. Therefore, what they say is the following. It says, if you're putting on a talis for kavod atzibur, you have to make a recognizable difference, and you have to show that you're not wearing a tzorich mitzvah. Therefore, you don't wear it until the end of the davening on the one hand, but now you did wear it for kavod atzibur, so you can't just, it's not respectful to take it off immediately. That's a bit bizarre, it's not respectful. So if you get called up, and as you walk down, you take the talis off, that shows a bit disrespect on the one hand. On the other hand, you can't keep it until the end of the davening, but that would imply that you wore it for the entire davening, that it's the mitzvah. So therefore, we're making kind of a recognizable change. You don't wait until the end of the davening, nor do you put it off straight away. And that is, makes sense to take it off after Kedusha. Isn't that interesting?
Why is it that wearing it to the end of the davening makes people think that you're wearing the whole tefillah? Because clearly you're only putting it on when you get your aliyah.
Yeah, I know, but post-factum kind of, that you would have to take it off before the end of the tefillah, before the end of the mitzvah. I think it's a nice explanation. It certainly goes a long way to explain, the Arunogim are ancient, the Arunogim are beautiful. There's always good reason for it. And that's what it is. Because you see Talmud Chacham doing it as well. I always bothered. Why take it off so quick? What's the pshat in it? But yes, if you just put it on the cover of that tzibur, you're not going to wear it until the end of the davening. Yeah. So I don't think it goes that far to say that you've got to make a bracha, but it just shows, you won't make a bracha. Because
if it's Meshacharis, you maybe would.
When would you make the bracha?
I'm just saying, like...
When would you make a bracha? Before you go up?
It's a borrowed talis for a short amount of time. If someone's going to wear that talis for a whole davening, they would make a bracha.
Yeah.
So maybe they're cutting it short, so you don't have to make that bracha.
Right.
Suggesting that.
Yeah.
I would have thought wearing it for your own shmoneh is that's already considered the tzorich mitzvah.
Again, if you're
wearing it for your own shmoneh esrei,
Yeah.
Lachash.
They should take it off after that.
No, why is that not considered wearing it for the Tzorich Mitzvah? I'm no longer wearing it for the
Kavod. Okay, so where exactly to put it?
I get the point about the Bezayin of
Yeah, so the question is where exactly that point would be, but it just... Okay, so I suppose you could judge where would be the right, but it's just, you can't take it off straight away, and nor can you keep it till the end of the davening. So
is that a Bezayin to take it off? I've used it for the Kavod.
Yeah, it's a bit Bezayin. Yeah, it's a Bezayin. It's a shtickle Bezayin, yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. We carry on. So Simon Dala tells us the following. Can you take can I take your talis in your absence, grab your talis and make a bracha on it? You daven the early minion, I daven the late minion, vice versa. I can see your talis. Let me take your talis and make a bracha on it. I'll put it back. Can you do that or not? What?
No.
Why not?
Because it's assumed that he would want you to
take talis chaver, the talis of your friend, and make a bracha on it. Ubelvad, provided she kapel oisav, you fold it in matzah mekupelis. If you found it folded, you're going to return it folded. Bring it, put it back to where you took it in the first place, but otherwise, yes, you can take it, and you can even make a bracha on it. How come you can make a bracha on it? It's not yours. We learned yesterday, talis got to be yours. Suscha. So what's the answer? I'm not talking about the shuls. I'm talking about a private item, private talis.
It was the chazak. Most people would be happy if you would do it, so therefore you can rely on that.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, exactly what you were saying. Talis chaveru peyush. Shaloi midaita without the owner's permission. The nichale leinish, it is nichale leinish. A person wants is agreeable. He's happy leinish the avid mitzvah mamone. He's happy for a person to do a mitzvah with his possessions. I'm happy for you to do mitzvahs with my possessions. It's my schos. It's my pleasure.
Is it so? I know it's a cycle. Would that be the same?
We're going to get that shortly, because that's really the... So the assumption is over here, I'm happy for you to use my items without my explicit permission, if it's for mitzvah, as long as you put it back afterwards safely. V'davka be'akoyev or be'kviyas, also it's only if it's occasionally and not permanently. V'davka be'oisemokim, it's only if it's in that particular place, aval le'oitim be'sakneses or yibcha also, but if you're going to a different shul, that's already, you can't take a talis into a different shul. Yeah, so if it's in that very place, that's okay. But if you're going to schlep it out, that's a problem. So that's the concept over here. So you can take a talis without permission, use it, fold it back, and you can even make a bracha on it whilst you're wearing it. Now the Rambam comes and he addresses your question. Aval also lilmoid mesfarim shel chaveru beloy daito, but you cannot use a sefer. You cannot use a sefer that belongs to somebody else. The chashinon, because we're concerned, shema yikroi som milimudo. Maybe he's going to tear it. So yes, a talis you can use without permission, but the sefer no, you can't use because you may tear it. Okay, what do you think about that?
You still say that nowadays.
Good question. So here is the question: if you keep a siddur in your place, would you care? Would you not care if somebody uses it? If you keep a machzor in your place, would you keep, you got Gemara in your place, do you care or do you not, if somebody uses it?
As long as they look after it, as long as they respect it.
You okay with it?
Yeah, if they respect it. I don't like when it gets moved. I don't like when it gets moved.
Right. Yeah. So, we are learning now, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you use it, somebody else's talis, you can use somebody else's talis, you can even make a brach on it. Would you care if somebody uses your talis? You wouldn't. I probably would.
Because we're into hygiene and things like that now. Whereas when this was written,
I'm saying pre-COVID. You're saying
this was written, they didn't care about am I going to catch? Am I going to have? My hair. We've got loads of hair. Everyone in the ship. What was it called? Dandruff.
So you don't want either. So the Shulchan Aruch says talis no problem. You can assume that it's fine. Unless you know that particular individual is a bit of a. But otherwise, you can assume that it's fine. Now, a sefer, he says, a sefer you can't use because you may tear it. Now, I want to say this, you're quite right. I want to just put that in context. My grandmother was nifter a number of years ago, but I remember that. I remember clearly that conversation. When I was at my grandmother's house, I looked for the Sfarim, and then one of the, I had was a set of Sfarim there, a set of Machzorim, And lo and behold, when I look at that set of Machzorim, I was a young boy or whatever, maybe a Bocha, I'm not sure. And I look at the set of Machzorim, full set of Machzorim. Old Machzorim, I looked and I said, it's Nusach Sfat. Nusach Sfat. Now we don't have Nusach Sfat. And my grandparents never have Nusach Sfat. And my family never. So I asked my grandmother, I said, why? What's the story of this set of Machzorim? And this is what she told me. She said, why do we have a set of Nusach Sfat Machzorim? What's the story? Why do we end up? And it was a stamp of my grandfather. The stamp of my grandfather's set of Machzorim. So I said, why do we have a set of Nusach Sfat Machzorim? And she told me as follows. She said, it was years ago, going back, I don't know if it's the 1950s or 1960s, I don't know. But my grandfather lent money to somebody. He lent money to somebody. I don't know the figure, but he lent money to somebody. And that individual, that person who was my grandfather lent to that person, he was unable to pay back that debt. He was not able to pay. He lent him money for 5 years, two years, 3 years, 5 years. He eventually came to the point that my grandfather went up to him and said, listen, I've lent you that money. What's happening? He said, I'm just unable to pay back. He said, all right, okay, what are we going to do about it? He said, listen, the only thing I can give you a set of machzorim. He said, that's the only thing I can do. He said, all right, okay, fine. Sure, I'll take a set of machzorim instead. And he took a set of machzorim instead. Now, the boy said, I don't know how much money the discussion is about. I don't know what it is. But I can't, for sure, now, how much is set of machzorim? How much does it cost? It's not, you know. Yeah. So, we're talking about over here. So, I'm just showing that the value of Sfarim, that's exactly the point you're making. We're going back, not so many years ago. And yet, the value of Sfarim has deteriorated, has decreased significantly. An average sefer is 15 pounds, 18 pounds, whatever. It's in the olden days, and I'm going back 50 years, Kal v'chomer 100 years, Kal v'chomer, Ben Benoshe, Kal v'chomer 200 years, Sfarim were extremely, extremely expensive. Moshe Feinstein after the war, he famously, the whole story of the, you know, he saved for a number of years until he was able to actually buy a shas. And every month he put money aside until he finally was able to buy, you know the story about the boy that spilled the ink. You know, after just the first week he had the shas, you know the story? He finally bought his shas at Moshe Feinstein. It's 1950s. He finally got his shas. He was very. And then the first week he had, and then this old heavy shas, a bit like this, just heavier. And then a few weeks there was a boy that came, an 8-year-old boy, and he came to Moshe for Brocha, and as he was there, Moshe had the ink, you know, the old fashioned ink, you know, with the feather. It was probably a. Fountain pen probably, and he spilled the dark black ink on the Moshe Shas, and the beauty was that Moshe Feinstein looks up to the boy and says, oh, that's navy blue, it's my favorite color, having spoiled and completely destroyed that sefer completely and utterly, full of ink all over the place, which obviously kind of, he says, oh, it's my favorite color. The beauty of Moshe's midas, that I have an immediate reaction like that, you know, it's just beautiful, instead of shouting out in anger. So I'm just saying that the value of Sfarim, well, it was very expensive. Only in that context we can understand what the Moshe is teaching us over here. Only in that context we can understand. A sit, a talus, you can use somebody else's talus without permission. No worries. But a sefer, we are concerned maybe it's going to tear. We're concerned you can't use a sefer because we're concerned he's going to tear. So what about Sfarim nowadays? They're cheap to replace. Yeah. And I think that people...
I'm wondering about the different cheshbon nowadays. That seems a bit more financial cheshbon in the olden days. And I'm wondering if it's not so much... The main nidon is not necessarily anymore the financial implication of what happens if it tears or whatever, but actually the hakpada from a different standpoint.
They just don't want to get dandruff.
What you're saying is that it would actually the opposite of what the Shulchan Aruch says. Talas okay, sid or not? You would say probably nowadays would probably be the opposite.
It teaches us about the way our
society
our minds have been corrupted.
yeah. Yeah. So Rabbi Yisai, but what will be that? I mean, it won't be if the so what will be if you see a set of tefillin in somebody else? You know, it happens much later, and you got the early minion, or the other way around. It doesn't make a difference. You can see it tefillin, and you know it happens to be. It's probably gonna fit more or less. Would you wear somebody else's tefillin? Would you put on somebody else's tefillin?
Not today.
People are more makbid. Yeah. So the Mishnah does say that if you know that people are makbid, then you cannot rely on this heter. Generally, we say people assume that you are fine to lend it for mitzvah purpose. If you know that this is an exceptional case, then you can't. But generally, I had a shahada last week. I ended up in a place I was where I worked, the school where I worked. There's a few minchas, and I just was there's a mincha one, a two, a four. There's a few minchas, and I was suddenly I turned out I wanted to daven a bit earlier minyan because of a so, but I didn't have my hat. I didn't have my hat with me. The hat was in the other office, whatever, and I wanted to catch that mincha. So I was there standing without the hat. And here is my shalat that I had. Let's see based on what we're learning now. What's the halacha? So I was there without the hat, but I did see there was a hat there, which I could use. Happens to you, it was bent up, but that's besides the point. But there was a hat there, which was lying there in a public area kind of thing, for the start. The question was, I want to put on a hat for mincha. Oh. So what would you say? Is there a mitzvah or not? Can I grab that? Pardon? Let's just go to do. Yeah. So let's say it's let's just go to do. Yeah. I want to save more. But what do you want to say?
If you're in Stafford Hill, which you were, it's probably a
chiv. Yeah. So the reality is that there is a loch of ituf. The reason why there's a loch of ituf. Person should cover if possible. It's not ma'akev or anything, but it's a hiddur to be ma'utav to cover the head. It's not everybody agrees with it, but there is an approach to say that hat is an ituf and one should do so during davening. If that's the case, then if we're assuming that there isn't. That it is, so what would you say? Would you say that is it more like the talis or more like the siddur? Can I grab, without permission, somebody's hat and use it, yes or no? Assuming that it is a halacha, that it's a hiddur to wear a hat.
It's going to be like the talis.
That what?
It's going to be the same as the talis.
That it should be fine. Yeah, everybody agrees with that?
Can you do that on a hiddur? It's not marki. Talis is a mitzvah hiddur in Saba, you have to.
No, what you're saying? You're saying as the crowd. I'm saying as the.
I hear that. But what's my halacha?
It's going to walk in any time.
Do you
have to add an extra condition that you know that the person who's going to wear it not only doesn't mind, but isn't going to come to that minion himself 2 minutes late?
Yeah. All right. Okay. I suppose that's true as well. No, that's a good point as well.
That was
happened
to me.
He thinks about the other. He shows up. Yeah, okay, that's a bit different. Yeah, okay. So I think it's clearly this halacha. I think it's exactly the same than the talis, and I firmly believe that if a person's got a hat in a public place like this, especially if you can see that it's not like a brand new beautiful hat and all that, you can see it's, you know. So assuming that in terms of hygiene, COVID and all that, you know, you're okay to wear somebody else. So I think that it's mamash that halacha, nichle reinish. I think that yes, there's a hiddur in it, and therefore a person, I believe it's permanent. Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. I'm still here to say the story. I'm still here. I've survived it. It was okay. Now, similar to that, Rav Moshe Feinstein has got a very interesting trailer. And that is perhaps is a very... Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to ask the following question. We've learned that you can take somebody else... We are happy. You're happy to lend your item for somebody else to fulfill the mitzvah. We're happy with that. Okay. Will that apply with regards to Dalet Minim as well? Yes or no? Would you be happy if you leave your talis in shul? All right, some people do. You leave your abba minim in shul. Are you okay? Somebody else using your dalet minim quickly, not like the old nanu. Make the baruch, lift up, make the baruch, and put it back.
You've got lachem by that, haven't you?
Yeah, but here also talis. Also, if it's not yours, there is part from tzitzis. We're assuming that nichle goes so far that it's makne. He's makne to you.
I think possibly it's worse than the safer because it could break. Certainly on the first day. Other days, probably less.
Let's say other days. Let's say other days.
Outside, you're not so much because it's much more
okay. Should be okay. The answer is yes, it is okay. But now comes Moshe. Now comes Moshe. The answer is yes, it is okay. Nichlal Inch, it's fine, you can use it. Should gently and carefully.
The act of leaving it in shul is a gilui.
Probably, probably. Although I must add that the Mishnah Berurah does say if you know that individual is makpit, you can't use. Sometimes with regards to dalet minim, maybe that is true. If a person is really bought this 200-pound esleg and he's really.
And by talus?
The same applies by talus as well. If you know that he's makpit, you can't.
So the lulav should be like a sefer, no? Especially with one.
So lulav like a sefer? Why do you think so?
Those days it was very hard to come by.
Ah, okay, I'm talking about nowadays lulav. Nowadays, somebody leaves dalet minim in he doesn't care so much about his esek, about dalet minim. It's a cheap set, he's happy to leave it in shul. Yeah, so I think we can agree that he can use it. Okay. Now, comes a motion asks, what about a woman? To a woman of, if she just happens to be in shul and whatever the story is, that was a shayla that Moshe was asked. It's a real shayla. And Moshe was asked, he's in shul, she's in shul, this woman is in shul, and she sees an abba minim. She doesn't have abba minim at home. What? You can ask him why, I don't know, she doesn't have. And she feels like making a bracha on abba minim now. Can she, or can she not, take this abba minim, a random abba minim in shul, somebody she doesn't know, and you'll never know, you make quickly a bracha, gently and elegantly, and you grab the dalet minim and you put it back. A woman.
Why not?
The argument that the person asking the question, Moshe, said, well, she's not obligated. She's not obligated. What you are saying is precise what Moshe Feinstein answers. So the question was that, A, she doesn't have to do it. She doesn't have to do talad minim. She's not obligated. It's a time-bound mitzvah. So Moshe Feinstein, at Shuvah 1963, he says, you are wrong. You're totally and utterly wrong. Because she doesn't have to do it? All right, of course you're right. But you have to put on talus? You don't have to put on talus? What is a mitzvah? So, once you wear four-corner garment, then you've got a mitzvah, put on tzitzis. You don't have to do it. So he brought b'raya, mamash like Rabbi Feingold suggests. There was a Moshe shtickle. He says, if from the tzitzis, yichiach, the fact that you can take somebody else's talus without permission and use it, and so same will be applied, will be true with Dalamin as well, and therefore, Paskin Zalach Lamaise, a woman who happens to be in shul, and she sees a set of Abamine, she can take it without permission, make a book, and put it back gently. Yeah, she can. That's what the Moshe Feinstein says.
But what if you have a talus shel kavod in shul, and someone decides, I prefer yellow talus, somebody private talus. There's enough talus in the
I don't see any reason why not. What would be the argument then not? That he would be makpid?
No, there's other options.
Yeah, so but what would you say? The owner of the talus. I mean, the assumption is you are happy to do
it. The owner of the talus.
Maybe it's not nichle.
So why does he have to use mine?
Yeah, maybe it's
interesting svara. Yeah. Maybe there's no nichle. It's an interesting svara. I didn't see this svara anywhere, and I think that probably there is a nichle. You're happy to share your item for others to do a mitzvah. That's the underlying concept of nichle le'inish. You're happy to. So I don't think it makes a difference as to whether there's others alternative available or not. But it's an interesting svara. I didn't see it in the post game. Okay, Rabbi Sad, to summarize, we learned this evening, we learned that you're allowed to take somebody else's talus, make a brach on it, as long as you fold it and put it back in its original place. We also learned that the tefillin, that applies by tefillin as well, and the siddur, however, we're concerned that the pages are going to tear. We said nowadays this may be a little bit different, and certainly what is important to point out is what Mishnah Berurah says, if you know that particular individual is makpid, that particular individual cares about it, doesn't, it wouldn't allow, then you may not do so. Also, what Mishnah Berurah also points out, can you do it regularly? If you like his talus, it's a lot nicer than yours. He bought himself a nice new talus. And he's a man, he's like old, he's ancient, you know. And he dumps anyway a lot later than me. What?
You're wearing it out.
You're going to wear it? So yes, the answer is correct. You can only do it once. You can't do it regularly. Whether it's the talus or the sit, whatever it is, you cannot do it regularly.
You sure it's masked regularly, though.
Okay, good evening, Abbo Issa. Good evening.